It will be just the Chiradahi Panihati Mahotsava. So I wasn't aware that they had in mind Bhagavatam Shloka. So we'll hear the narration about the festival of Panihati today. So I won't lecture on the Bhagavatam verse. Actually, I don't need a harmonium. Yeah. So on such days as Panihati festival, we have a chance of remembering the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are very ecstatic and full of nectar. So we have a chance to absorb ourselves in Gaura Lila. So in this connection, we can sing a song before we start, which glorifies Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his pastimes and everything connected to him. It's a well-known song, so some of you might know it. Gaurangero duti pada jardana shampada. Gaurangero duti pada. Gaurangero duti pada jardana shampada. Gaurangero duti pada. Se jane bhakti rasa sar. 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 Gaurangero madhulila jar karne praveshila. Gaurangero madhulila jar karne praveshila. Gaurangero madhulila jar karne praveshila. Gaurangero madhulila praveshila. Hridaya nirmala bhelotar. Hridaya nirmala bhelotar. Hridaya nirmala bhelotar. Hridaya nirmala bhelotar. Je Gaurangir namaloy tar hoy premodoy. Je Gauranger namaloy tar hoy premodoy. Tare mui jai bolihari. Tare mui jai bolihari. Gauranga gunete jure nitalila tare spure. Gauranga gunete jure nitalila tare spure. Gauranga gunete jure nitalila tare spure. Gauranga gunete jure. Se jana bhakti adhikari. Se jana bhakti adhikari. Se jana bhakti adhikari. Se jana bhakti adhikari. Gaurangero sangi gane nita siddha kori mane. Gaurangero sangi gane nita siddha kori mane. Gaurangero sangi gane nita siddha kori mane. Gaurangero sangi gane. Se jai Brajendra Shuto pa she jai brajendra Shuto pa she jai brajendra Shuto pa she jai brajendra Shuto pa Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Je bhajane chintamani Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Je bhajane chintamani Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Je bhajane chintamani Tar hoi braj bhumi bas 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 Tara hoi braja bhumeva Gaura premara sharnave Sheta ranga jeba dube Gaura premara sharnave Gaura premara sharnave Sheta ranga jeba dube She radha madhava yantaranga She Radha Madhava Antaranga Grihe Bhavane Te Thake Hagoranga Bole Dake Grihe Bhavane Te Thake Hagoranga Bole Dake Narottama mage tar sanga Narottama mage tar sanga So this is the song by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Gaurangira Dutipada Jardhana Sampada She Jane Bhakati Rasa Shar So, one for whom the lotus feet of Gauranga are the wealth, the sampatti, sampat, the asset. Yeah? That person knows the essence of bhakti. Shejane bhakati rasa sar. Gaurangera madhur lila jar karne praveshila. And who hears the pastimes of Lord Gauranga, literally, in whose ears the pastimes of Gauranga enter. Hridaya nirmala bhelotar, that person's heart becomes pure. Je Gauranger namaloi tarahoi premodoi, one who accepts the name of Lord Gauranga, he awakens his prema, his pure love for Krishna. Tare mui jai boli hari. So Narottam Das Thakur in this way congratulates the person. Very nice, very good. If you accept the name of Lord Gauranga. Gauranga gunete jure nitta lila tares pure. So one who relishes the qualities of Lord Gauranga, he can perceive nitta lila, the unmanifest eternal pastimes of the Lord. Shejana bhakati adhikari. He is the one who qualified for bhakti. Gaurangira shangi gane nitta siddha kori mane. One who accepts Lord Chaitanya's associates as Nitya Siddha, as eternally perfect devotees. Shejai Brajendra Suta Pash. That person will attain Brajendra Suta, Krishna. Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Tarahoi Braja Bhumi Bas. And one who accepts that the Gaura Mandala, Srinavadvip Dhamma, is no different from, is made of chintamani, is not material, it's made of spiritual, chit, substance. That person will reside in Braj Bhumi, in Vrindavan. So we can reside even in Vrindavan being in Navadvip, because both are non-different. Goda prema roshar nave sheta range jeba dube. One who drowns in the waves of Goda prema, of the ocean of love for Lord Chaitanya. She Radha Madhava Yantaranga. He is the internal associate of Radha Madhava. Griha Bhavanete Thake Ha Gauranga Bole Dake Narottama Mage Tara Sanga. So whether you stay at home as a grihastha or bonete or vanaprastha or sannyasi, renunciate, Ha Gauranga Bole Dake, but if you exclaim loudly, if you shout out, Ha Gauranga, O Gauranga, Narottama Mage Tara Sanga. So Narottam Das Thakur wants to get association of such a person. So today is the Chiradahi Panihati festival, which was a turning point in the spiritual life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And according to this bhajan that we have just sung, Gaurangira Shangi Gane Nitta Siddha Kori Mane. Lord Chaitanya's associates are Nitya Siddhas. So there's no doubt that Raghunath Das Goswami is a Nitya Siddha. This is confirmed by all the Acharyas. So he nevertheless, Nitya Siddha Parshada means the associate. He eternally associates with the Lord in the spiritual world. But when the Lord's pastimes unfold in this material world, such eternal associates, they come together with him and they enact the pastime of joining with the Lord. So for some time they are separated, externally of course. So this is very interesting. You see it in all the pastimes of the Lord, whether it's Krishna Lila or Gaura Lila. Rupa Sanatana Goswamis, they also enacted that same pastime of being attracted by Lord Chaitanya and then joining him later on with much endeavor. It wasn't easy. So this is the spiritual life in perfection. It's an ongoing an ongoing rasa. Yeah, it's not static, it's ecstatic. So there is a separation and there is union. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he joined Lord Chaitanya later on, but there was a special circumstance created by Lord Chaitanya which helped Raghunath Das join him. And this is described by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Antya Lila chapter 6, meeting of Raghunath Das Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. And he starts the chapter with a very nice verse. Kripa gunairyah kugrihandha kupa dudhritya bhangya Raghunath Dasam nyasya swarupe vidadhentarangam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mamung Prapadye. With the ropes of his causeless mercy, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. What a comparison. So somebody is in a dark well of contemptible family and the Lord Chaitanya with the ropes he drags out the person. Of course, by family life, it's understood the materialistic existence. He made Raghunatha Das Goswami one of his personal associates, placing him under the charge of Swarupa Damodar Goswami. I offer my obeisances unto him. So such a mercy. Yeah. Swarupa Damodar, one of the closest associates. What can be a better fortune than being placed under his direct care? So this fortune was bestowed on Raghunath Das Goswami, who is glorified by Kavi Karnapura in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka as Yasarva Lokaika Mano Abhirucha Sobhagyabhu Kachida Krishtapacha Tatrayam Aropana Tulya Kalam Tat Prema Shakhi Palavana Tulyaha. So he, by his qualities, Srila Raghunatha, he attracted, he melted the minds and the hearts of all devotees. Sarva loka ikamano abhirucha, subhagyabuh kachida krishta pacha, and he became, his heart became a fertile ground without tilling. on the ground of his heart, later on, when the time came, the tree of Krishna Prema had grown and yielded fruit. So this is glorification of Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was intimately connected with Lord Chaitanya's eternal associates even before he met him, because his family was tightly related with, for example, Lord Chaitanya's grandfather, Nilambara Chakravarti, and Advaita Acharya. Their family priest of Raghunath Das Goswami's family was Yadunandana Acharya, who was a disciple of Vasudev Datta. Or Advaita Acharya. But anyway, he was also another close associate of Lord Chaitanya. So from his childhood, Raghunath Das was in close touch with Lord Chaitanya. And definitely, naturally, he became very much attracted to Lord Chaitanya. And he wanted very much to join Lord Gauranga. So, but his family, they were very rich. He was the son of Govardhan, and his uncle was Hiranya. They were very rich persons, and they were very charitable and maintaining, helping the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas in the area. But as naturally, they were very much attached to their son. They didn't want their son to leave anywhere. Although Raghunath was, from his childhood, uninterested in materialistic life. But they were very attached. So, at some point of time, when Lord Chaitanya was on his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, and then that time he went to Ramakeli to deliver Rupa and Sanatana. So, later on the advice of Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, he cancelled his journey to Vrindavan, because he was accompanied by too many people. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I don't want to go to Vrindavan like that. So he decided to go back to Puri. And so on the way back to Puri, he visited many places in Bengal and gave his darshan to many of his devotees. And he came to Shantipur, the place of Advaita Acharya, where he stayed for a few days. And when he was in Shantipur, Raghunath Das, since it was not too far away, Raghunath Das pleaded his father, please let me go and see Lord Chaitanya. And his father said, okay, he conceded, and he let Raghunath Das go. And Raghunath Das went there, and he stayed in Shantipur, and because Advaita Acharya knew him, he knew that boy, he was very merciful, and he was giving him direct remnants of Lord Chaitanya. Was giving Raghunath Das Mahaprasad of Lord Chaitanya all these days. And at that time, Raghunath Das was, he was absorbed in thoughts of, you know, somehow or other getting out of his family and joining Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he could know the mind of Raghunath Das. And he, at one point, he talked to him. So I will read this section. Some sections we will read, some sections we will summarize. So Raghunath Das, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addresses Raghunath Das in Shantipur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I shall certainly go to... clasping... 1 second. Okay, 235. Okay, here it is. Raghunath Das thought, how shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchmen? Because his father always employed servants and watchmen just to make sure the son won't escape. How shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchman? How shall I be able to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Nilachala? So he wanted right away to just join Mahaprabhu on his way back to Puri. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words. This is very nice instructions for many of us. Lord Chaitanya said, "Be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence." So Lord Chaitanya gave a very wonderful instruction, be patient. So in spiritual life, we have to be patient sometimes. Sometimes it's good to strive for mercy by whatever means, and sometimes it's good to be patient. And this is mentioned by Rupa Goswami, Dhairya, and in Upadeshamrita. We have to be patient. When the proper desire is there and sincerity is there, Krishna will make sure we will attain our goal. But if we too much endeavor when the proper time hasn't come, these endeavors will just cause disturbance. So sometimes we are advised to wait for the proper time and wait for the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, "One cannot immediately reach the coast," means of the ocean of material existence, "but if one endeavors, he can cross the ocean by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. One may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative. Then one day he will reach the shore and return home back to Godhead." So then Krishnadas Kiviraj continues, "You should not," Lord Chaitanya speaks, "you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciate. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it." Lord Chaitanya told, "You go, you stay at your home, enjoy your wealth, but don't become attached." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Within your heart, you should keep yourself very faithful. Nishtha should stay in your heart. But externally, you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya." So this is a dilemma for many devotees who stay outside. How I can be acting outside and at the same time be detached and devoted to Krishna. So we have to take inspiration from Raghunath Das Goswami and pray for his mercy that we can stay in the material world, sometimes executing some necessary duties, but at the same time, in the depths of our hearts, you know, our heart is given to Krishna and to devotees and to spiritual master. We don't become like a monkey and a crocodile. You know the story. The monkey, the crocodile caught the monkey, and what happened? Yeah, he was carrying the monkey to his hole to eat her, and the monkey said, and he said, "Oh, I very much enjoy eating the hearts of monkeys. This is my favorite preparation." And the monkey said, "Oh, you know, but there's a problem. I forgot my heart on the shore. Could you go back and then I'll go and bring my heart?" Oh, really? You forgot it? Okay." And the crocodile went back to the shore. So monkey jumped down and climbed up the tree. And definitely, of course, it never came back to the crocodile. So we should be like that. This is the story narrated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We should be like that. We shouldn't give our heart to the crocodile of Maya. We should keep it safe under Krishna's lotus feet. So, Lord Chaitanya says, "You may see me at Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, when I return after visiting Vrindavan. By that time, you can think of some trick to escape." So Lord Chaitanya, second time he went to Vrindavan, And then when he returned back, so Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das, at that time you try to escape and you will see me, you will meet me. What kind of means you will have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. This is a very nice statement. So when the time comes, the means will be revealed by Krishna. We shouldn't bother much now about it, about the externals. Sometimes we try to pre-calculate Krishna's plan. No, Krishna will have to act in this way, you know, in order to solve my problem. But Krishna has his ways, you know, which are, and they are all unpredictable. So Lord Chaitanya said that when the time will come, you know, Krishna will reveal to you the means. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external pseudo renunciation and engaged in his household duties without attachment. So his father got him married, and so he was staying with his parents and with his wife, and he was externally acting just like an ordinary person. And as an example, Krishna Das Kaviraj narrates a story of how once his uncle got in trouble by collecting taxes and, you know, leaving a little more for themselves. Business-minded person always has that ability how to save up more, how to profit more. So he was collecting the taxes but not giving to the government as much as he should have had. And so the Muslim tax collector who was previously on that position became very envious. And he secretly informed the minister who later, and they both came to the house of Raghunath Das. They wanted to take his uncle and his father to punish them. But they were not there. They weren't at home. And they took Raghunath Das instead. And they imprisoned him and they were threatening him. You bring your father and uncle and we'll let you go. Otherwise, we'll punish you. And Raghunath Das was very expert in these dealings and diplomacy and the way to talk with people. So he managed the situation. He spoke to the Muslim. He said, you know, my uncle and my father, they're just like your brothers. So as I am the son of my father, so I'm also like your son. So how can you punish me? I'm your son. I'm your boy. You know, don't do that. So in this way, he was talking persuasively with that Muslim person, and the guy melted down, and it is said the tears started gliding down his beard. Can you imagine the scene? And then, so he said, it's okay, my boy, I know, I'm sorry for what I've done, but you go home now, you go home. I'm releasing you, but please, you know, talk to your uncle, and you know, he's getting some profit, he should share with me at least a little. So, you know, arrange a meeting, you know, and then whatever he decides, but he should give me a little bit, something. So, okay. So, in this way, the matter was settled. So, but Raghunath Das, you know, at some point, although he was trying to be acting as, you know, as a paka, you know, Griha Medhi, but he just couldn't. And here and there he started trying to escape home. And he would run away, but his father would catch him after some time and bring him back. And of course his father would keep the guards around Raghunath Das. Jai Hare Krishna. And It had become almost a daily affair that Raghunath Das would run away, the father would bring him back. So what to do in this situation? So the father of Raghunath Das, she said to his father, she said, you know, you better lock him and bind him. In this way, we'll keep him safely at home. But his father replied, you know, he said, he's a madman of Lord Chaitanya. So What can tie him to his home? Even his riches, his wealth, and his wife, who is just like an apsara, all this can't bind him to home. So, because he's a madman of Lord Chaitanya, how you think the ropes can bind him? So things were going on this way, and at some point, Lord Nityananda was visiting that area, and here is the occasion for the Panihati festival. He was actually sitting, is described, he was sitting with his associates. It was very effulgent, like, you know, thousands of suns under the banyan tree and surrounded by his associates and devotees. And Raghunath Das wanted to go there to beg for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So he came there and he paid his obeisance far away, not coming close. And one of the servants of Lord Nityananda noticed Raghunath Das, and he informed Nityananda Prabhu that here Raghunath Das is paying his obeisances there, you see, in the distance. And Nityananda Prabhu exclaimed, "You thief, you come here immediately. You behave just like a thief, you're hiding. Come here." So he had him brought to him, and he forcibly put his lotus feet on Raghunath Das's head. And Lord Nityananda, yes, he said, that you arrange festival for my devotees, and you feed everybody yogurt and chipped rice, chida. Raghunath Das immediately took this order on his head, and he immediately arranged, sent men all over the place to purchase the necessary paraphernalia. And he arranged a wonderful festival for all the devotees of Nityananda Prabhu and whoever was assembled there. So we can read a little the description of this festival. So when everything was already brought, There were two preparations made from chida, from the flat rice, which was, one was mixed with yogurt, bananas, and sugar, and another preparation was soaked in condensed milk, then a special variety of banana, and camphor, and ghee. So when everything was prepared, hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, brahmanas, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered two earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and in the other chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people were there. Each and every one of them was supplied two earthen pots, one of chipped rice soaked in yogurt, and the other of chipped rice soaked in condensed milk. Some of the brahmanas, not having gotten a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges with their two earthen pots and soaked their chipped rice there. Others, who could not get a place even on the bank of the Ganges, got down into the water and began eating their two kinds of chipped rice. Thus, some sat on the platform, some at the base of the platform, and some on the bank of the Ganges, and they were all supplied two pots each by 20 men who distributed the food. So now Raghava Pandit came to the place. Raghava Pandit brought many kinds of food cooked in ghee and offered to the Lord, to Lord Nityananda. This prasadam he first placed before Lord Nityananda and then distributed among the devotees. Raghava Pandit said, to Lord Nityananda, "For you, sir, I have already offered food to the deity. But you are engaged in a festival here, and so the food is lying there untouched." So it seems there was an arrangement that Lord Nityananda Prabhu would take prasad at the house of Raghava Pandit. But he was busy with the Panihati festival. Lord Nityananda replied, "Let me eat all this food here during the day, and I shall eat at your home at night. I belong to a community of cowherd boys, and therefore I generally have many cowherd associates with me. I'm happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river. So Lord Nityananda spoke in the ecstasy of Balaram. Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and had two pots delivered to him also. When chipped rice had been served to everyone, Lord Nityananda Prabhu in meditation brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a special feature of Lord Nityananda's mercy on this occasion. He brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, and Lord Chaitanya was there invisibly for many devotees, but some could see him dancing and exchanging prasadam with Lord Nityananda. So we'll read about this. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stood up. They then saw how others were enjoying the chipped rice with yogurt and condensed milk. From each and every pot, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took one morsel of chipped rice and pushed it into the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a joke. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also smiling, took a morsel of food, pushed it into the mouth of Nityananda, and laughed as he made Lord Nityananda eat it. In this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through all the groups of eaters, and all the Vaishnavas standing there were seeing the fun. So, no one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were very fortunate, could see that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. Then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side, he kept four pots of chipped rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Lord Nityananda offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place and had him sit down. Then together the two brothers began eating chipped rice. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu became very happy and exhibited varieties of ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, "All of you eat, chanting the holy name of Hari." Immediately the holy names Hari, Hari resounded, filling the entire universe. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hari, Hari and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys, on the bank of the Yamuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunatha Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He is so powerful that he induced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come eat chipped rice on the bank of the Ganges. All the confidential devotees who were cowherd boys headed by Sri Ramadas, this is that Minaketan Ramadas, were absorbed in ecstatic love. They thought the bank of the Ganges to be the bank of the Yamuna. When the shopkeepers of many other villages heard about the festival, they arrived there to sell chipped rice, yogurt, sweetmeats and bananas. As it usually is happening, anything going on, you immediately see so many people in India with the trolleys, you know, come. So the same thing was there. As they came bringing all kinds of food, Raghunath Das purchased it all. He gave them the price for their goods and later fed them the very same food. Very good business. Anyone who came to see how these funny things were going on was also fed chipped rice, yogurt and bananas. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished eating, he washed his hands and mouth and gave Raghunath Das the food remaining in the four pots. There was food remaining in the other, so he gave him Mahaprasad, of Lord Chaitanya, actually. So in this way, the festival was going on in a very jolly way. Lots of prasad, and Raghunath Das paid for all of that, because he was very rich. So later on, Nityananda Prabhu, in the evening, he went to the house of Raghava Pandit to accept prasadam. And so Nityananda Prabhu took prasadam there and in the house of Raghava Pandit. And they describe how Raghava Pandit was a very fortunate devotee because he, by the power of his devotion and the power of his the purity of his offering, Lord Chaitanya was coming there from Puri invisibly and accepting the offerings, because he would offer his food to the deities, to his deities, and made a separate offering for Lord Chaitanya, which the Lord came to eat. And sometimes Raghava Pandit could perceive Lord Chaitanya in his home accepting the bhog. So then when everything was over, this Raghava Pandit, he actually gave to Raghunath Das Mahaprasad of Lord Nityananda, and then actually what happened the next day, Lord Nityananda, Raghunath Das again went to meet Nityananda Prabhu, because the day before Lord Nityananda engaged him in serving the Vaishnavas. That was the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He gave him his mercy. He placed his lotus feet on the head of Raghunath Das, and he engaged him in serving all the devotees. So the next morning, there was an appropriate moment for Raghunath Das to reveal what was in his heart to Nityananda Prabhu, which he did. And so Raghunath Das went to the place where Lord Nityananda was staying, and he told him, "I'm the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I tried to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction." And I've heard some explanation from some reliable senior Vaishnavas, although I haven't read it anywhere in the book yet, but there was a hidden meaning behind the statement of Lord Nityananda, "You are a thief." Because what Raghunath Das was attempting to do all the time, was just trying to go directly to Lord Chaitanya, Krishna. And Krishna is the property of the spiritual master. So he was a thief. He was trying to go to Lord Gauranga directly. But he had to obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Nityananda is Guru, Adi Guru, Balaram. Yeah, so without that mercy, Raghunath Das's attaining the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya would be impossible. So this was another confidential meaning behind the statement, "You are a thief, you know, you come here. you need my mercy to go to Lord Gauranga." So we should also know that we can't approach Lord Chaitanya directly. We need mercy of Lord Nityananda, which comes down in the disciplic succession. And the manifestation of that mercy is the order of the spiritual master. So this is the means for success. So Lord Nityananda replied, after hearing this appeal by Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told all the devotees, "Raghunath Das's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven." So now he will glorify Raghunath Das. "Because of mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not value even the standard of happiness available in Brahma Loka, the topmost planet. And what to speak of heavenly happiness? So then he quoted Bhagavatam, verse about Bharat Maharaj. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is offered sublime, poetic prayers by those trying to attain his favor. Thus he is known as Uttama Shloka. Being very eager to gain the association of Lord Krishna, King Bharata, although in the prime youth, gave up his very attractive wife, affectionate children, most beloved friends, and opulent kingdom, exactly as one gives up stool after excreting it. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head, and began to speak. "My dear Raghunath Das," he said, "since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaurahari came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Swarupa Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of all this, return to your home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So, and then later on, Raghunath Das, he did another service to Sri Nityananda Prabhu by giving a donation to one of his servants, meant for Nityananda Prabhu, and also to each and every of his devotees. So, and later on, as we know, Raghunath Das managed to escape from his home, and by secret path he went to Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was already waiting for him. So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, this was all possible. And everything is possible by mercy of Lord Nityananda. We see how he engaged Raghunath Das in serving the devotees. And all this is meant to give us some instruction, some lesson that we can extract from these narrations of how actually to attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya by approaching first Lord Nityananda. Spiritual master, he is representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And all things in spiritual life can be possible, and we can attain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in this way. So today is this Panihati Mahotsava. So you can prepare chipped rice at your home and serve some Vaishnavas and remember these pastimes of Lord Gauranga. So I'll stop here. If you have anything to add, anybody wants to add something or any question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Nityananda Prabhu. Very nice class. Prabhu, since bhakti is independent, why would there be a need to leave household life? That's one question. Second, is it just for the likes of Raghunath Das Goswami to feel like that, or even a sadhaka, like one amongst us, can have this feeling? And third, what is the qualification for one to leave household life? If after answering one and two.
So the first was, the question was, if bhakti is independent of the external, so why there is a need to leave the household life. So So actually, yes, bhakti is independent, but ultimately one can practice devotional service in any circumstance. But specifically for some of the associates of the Lord, they become renunciates in his pastimes. And some remain householders and practice devotional service at home. But their position is the same. They're eternal servants of Krishna. Their position is the same. Once Srila Prabhupada asked the same question to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, actually. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, replied that it doesn't matter for a devotee, where to be, either as how to stay, either as a renunciate or a household life. In both conditions, his heart is given to Krishna, just like a chaste wife, when the husband is at home, she dresses attractively and puts on ornaments and everything else to please her husband. But when her husband is out of home, she removes the ornaments and dresses in old clothes. She has nobody else to, prepare herself for. So, but in both conditions, her sole meditation is her husband. So she won't do that separately, So with her state of being decorated or her state of being not decorated is all depending on the, it's all relied, it's all dependent on the husband, So in the same way, devotees of the Lord, they behave according to the will of the Lord, And some of them, they become renunciates, some of them stay householders. It's like that. But one thing is important, that there is an injunction, the Vedic injunction, that at the end of life, we should become renounced. Not exactly by accepting sannyas. Sannyas is not accepted by each and everybody, but in the way of vanaprastha. So one can become more austere. One can ideally move to the holy place and stay there. And this can be done even in the association of one's wife. Both husband and wife can support each other's devotion even in the advanced stage, in vanaprastha condition of life. So,
before you go to question two, my question was not that which ashram should one be in, because you answered that both are favorable, both are good.
Yeah.
My question is, if bhakti is independent, what is the need of moving from one ashram to the other? You didn't really address that point.
Sorry. So, what's the need of moving from one ashram or the other? So one has to accept certain course in life. So, that will depend on one's previous samskar, on one's karmic tendencies. Some persons are naturally gravitate towards renunciation, some not. So that will determine the course of one life. Also, instructions of the spiritual master will determine that. One thing is important, not to jump, from one ashram to another, like a monkey. One should stick to some position in this, it sticks to certain social position and be there. And this is the essence. Sthane sthita, Lord Brahma said in the Bhagavatam. I should remain in the position one is in. So, we should remember that bhakti is not dependent on the external.
Okay, so it's basically the previous samskars and his guru's instruction which guides his life. Okay. Now, the second is that, is it just for the life?
Sometimes some external circumstances also will demand that the person will accept a householder life. Sometimes it may happen. Just out of duty, even though he might not be inclined internally to it. Just out of duty, maybe he has to maintain somebody and then, some of his relatives. So, different things might happen in life.
So, I think you answered the second question also, that this is applicable even for a sadhaka, not only for the likes of Raghunath Das Goswami. When you talk about previous samskars, and Guru's instruction. So it's not only for the associates of the Lord, it could also be for the sadhakas.
What was the exactly the second question?
Is such a move only made by the associates of the Lord, or also it could be by a sadhaka?
Adopting their renunciation.
Yes, moving from one ashram.
Moving. No, it's just a general Vedic path to go through the ashrams, you know. Okay. So both lots perfect devotees and the sadhakas, you know, they externally may go through that external arrangements of varna and ashrama, because this is Vedic culture, you know.
The last question is that what is the qualification? If, you know, if he, there's a need for him to change the ashram. So when should he feel he is ready to do that? What is the qualification required?
What's the qualification for, particularly in regard to renunciation?
Leaving grihastha life.
Leaving grihastha, yeah. What's the qualification?
If it's before 50.
For leaving the family prematurely.
Premature.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's difficult to answer this question in terms of qualification, but it might be answered in terms of, you know, the desire of the Lord or the order of Guru. Because such things usually don't take place. You know, one is not advised to leave family prematurely without one's children grown up to a certain age when they can take care of the other members of the family. So one is not advised to do that prematurely. If that happens, that is an exception, and there are certain extraordinary circumstances for that. It's not at all encouraged and advised to do.
From this pastime, I'm just thinking about the platform of Ruchi. Because we see Raghunath Das Goswami, yeah. Na dharam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, ma jagdishan.
Yeah, he had definitely a qualification. That was the purpose. Lord Chaitanya wanted to have him by his side in Puri. That was the Lord's will, which had to, you know, be fulfilled. So the Lord's desire in this case, and of course an exceptional personality such as Raghunath Das Goswami, we can't judge him from the ordinary varnashrama point of view, that he left his household being young. So that was an exceptional person, and that was the desire of Lord Chaitanya, which kind of conducted the whole course of his life. And so, like that. Is there anything else? Any other questions or comments? No.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Just a small question or clarification that it said that, you mentioned that one has to be patient, especially in the path of bhakti. And how does one actually develop this art of using all that we have? Because some of it may be directly applicable. Because it seems that the apparent things in bhakti are what are visible, preaching, giving class, doing deity worship. Mm. But there could also be things which are not so visible to others. Mm-hmm. Right, and which can be done by a person so that he can employ all his abilities and qualities that he has. So how does one actually do that? Because many times there may not be reciprocation that you are doing something.
Mm. Reciprocation from whom? From other devotees?
Yes. Yeah. Or because generally it's expected, right? That if there is reciprocation, you feel good.
Yeah.
So how does one still continue to do that without reciprocation? Because it's very difficult to do.
Have everybody heard the question? Because the mic volume wasn't.
Sorry.
Yeah. So the question was that one does something and dedicates his work or the fruits of the work for the Lord, but it may not be the directly visible devotional service, such as which is going on in the temple, like you know, book distribution, puja or kirtan, one might be working outside and doing, dedicating the fruits for the work of the work for the Lord. So one is not always getting the reciprocation, from devotees, because it's not visible how you serve. It's not always visible. So how does one continue? Is that the question? Despite the lack of reciprocation.
Yes, and the general tendency is that, you know, we always look up to the person who is reciprocated to. That, oh, you know, he's such a big distributor, he's such a big, you know, he gives good Bhagavatam class, he made so many devotees. Yeah. What happens to the people who don't do that?
Okay, what happens to people who don't necessarily get the rewards in the form of, you know, congratulations and, you know, any glorifications? The only thing we have to be concerned about in our life, despite all odds, is whether the spiritual master is satisfied with us. That guarantees the satisfaction of Krishna. Even if we do not necessarily gain some external reciprocation in the form of, you know, encouragement or, you know, glorification and some kind words. Sometimes we have to be just fixed on what we are doing, and know that if it is confirmed by our spiritual master, if it is approved by the spiritual master, we are on the right track, and we shouldn't be much bothered about, you know, being kind of invisible in the society of devotees. We should just do the right thing. Just take the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was certainly serving and supporting the activities of the Gaudiya Math at that time. But he wasn't much extolled among his god brothers, you know. People saw him, Abhay Babu, he's a very nice Vaishnava, he's doing a lot. You know, but they didn't take him more seriously than that. But he kept in his heart the order of his guru. And that eventually it became manifest in such a wonderful way. So, despite a certain amount of non-cooperation even. Yeah. So, we have to be ready for this. We should know, we should be attached to, you know, to what we are doing in devotional service. And, because there will be so many opinions and so many views and, you know, but we should not be bothered about it. Once, I always remember, it's a very nice devotee, Prabhupada disciple, Mangalananda Prabhu, Michael Cassidy, who writes songs, Krishna conscious songs in a modern style. So, it's very, very wonderful, very wonderful songs. And he once played them for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada liked them very much. He said, oh, this could be played at the temple. Very nice songs, actually, if you listen to those songs. You can get them on YouTube. Mangalananda. It's very, very amazing. And Srila Prabhupada liked them very much. So then Mangalananda Prabhu, he told to Prabhupada, but you know, Srila Prabhupada, some of the senior devotees, they think it's a waste of time and it's maya. Because, you know, those times, what was not maya is, you know, you move into the temple, you go book distribution. If you do anything else, you're just, you know, you're second class, you know. But then Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry about that. And he said something, the cows will moo, but the caravan will, you know, will go forward. He said it in relation to those senior devotees who were criticizing Mangalananda. Prabhupada told him, you know, I like it, don't bother about them. And so he went on. So this should be there, you know. We will not always get the understanding of others around us. So I hope to a certain degree I answered it. Okay, Jai. She Panihati Mahotsava ki jai, Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.